All right, Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. It's the weekend again, which is nice. I want to talk about Christian nations, get back to the heart of the matter. We're looking at the collapse of the American constitutional system. It's many people will call us a post-constitutional society. I think the people in charge and running that know that it is a post-constitutional society. There's no conception left whatsoever of a limited form of government in the United States of America, and there has not been for generations. Probably the last man that really warned about that was Eisenhower, when in his farewell speech he warned about the military-industrial complex. We certainly have a military, industrial, economic, national security, intelligence, academic, pharmaceutical, news media complex. It's a beast. It's Orwellian, and it's a beast. The constitutional rights are limited. The thought that the U.S. government should be limited in scope is gone. Not even Republicans will give a sort of a verbal assent, but nobody means it. And the average American couldn't care less how much the United States government runs. They want free stuff. They don't care. They don't care that it's run the boundaries. The gerontocracy that runs the Senate and the House these days, these people are 70, 80 years old. They're only in there because you can't defeat them. We have a system such that you can't honestly have any turnover. Once they get in power, they get corrupted, they get blackmailed, and they get bribed. And those that control them will keep them in power for as long as they want. Now, some don't feel they're blackmailed. They just say, you know what, this is the game, I'm going to play it. And the idea of principles goes out the window. Even the best of them. I'm not saying there's no good ones in there. There's probably a few. But it's a tough system. And now we've come to the place in 2023 where we are arresting political dissidents, arresting them and throwing them in jail, arresting members of the political opposition party, arresting the most likely candidate for the Republican nomination, Donald Trump. I don't know if he was arrested, but he certainly has his mugshot out there. And he's been charged with crimes that could spool up to over seven centuries. Can you imagine that? This guy's not a murderer. I mean, nobody even says he was. So something has happened, something is wrong, something is bad, something has changed. It's been generations in the making. And we haven't figured out how to get out of it yet. We really haven't. There's a cabal of people, very powerful people. They have vested interests in keeping the system as it is. They're absolutely not going to back down. Getting rid of a distraction. They're not going to back down. They're not going to go away. They got control. And they'll kill people to stay in control. I don't know how many people have died around Hillary Clinton, but a lot. And you can't, I mean, at a certain point, people just have to say, look, there's stuff going on. Whether it's all of Hillary Clinton's associates that mysteriously die from suicide, shooting themselves twice in the head, twice, they call it suicide. And it goes on. There's some more salacious information about the former President Barack Obama that came out recently this week. No surprise. That's been out there for years. It's been out there for years and years and years. But when you control the system, you can cover that up. And it just goes over and over and over and over. And, you know, I don't want to go into all the ills of our current society, but we're doing things that were unspeakable. I mentioned that, I think, yesterday. What we're teaching the grade schoolers today, it's unbelievable. We have open borders. I might touch on that a little bit today. We have a government that is soon to be bankrupt. And when all this happens, when the country's invaded and we're at war with the Russians and the economy's worthless, what happens? We don't go away. There's going to be devastation in this country. I was listening to a different podcast, group of people talking to the other, and they're very clear. It says civil war and war, civil war and war. I've talked about this for years. Talked about civil war and war for literally years now. And when everybody says, oh, war with Russia, war with Russia, I would say, nope, it's war. Excuse me. They were saying war with China. And I said, no, it's not war with China. It's war with Russia. We're going to have a war with Russia. I said, we may have a war with China, too, but we're going to have a war with Russia. And now we're in a war with Russia. The United States is in a war with Russia. And we are devolving quickly towards civil war. It's amazing how I can look at reading the newspaper today. They're talking about, oh, there might be civil war in Israel. Couldn't care less. There's going to be civil war here in this country. The only way there isn't is if the good guys simply roll over and allow ourselves to be slaughtered. And that's kind of what it's at. There's not a lot of courage out there. And when I say courage, I'm specifically looking at the churches. The churches have rolled over and surrendered. At the best, they'll give a nominal defense. They'll say, oh, yes, we're against the homosexuality. We're against the trannyism. And that's about it. That's about it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about where do we want to go and what do we want to be and what is it supposed to look like after we win? I mean, what do you want? You want an America that looks like 1970s America? You want America that looks like 1960? You want an America that looks like 1950? What do you want? And I don't think we've plumbed the depths of what we want yet. I don't think we've gotten to the point where we've come up with a viable nation state. I don't think we have. I think we're still operating on the premise that certain things can be acceptable in a viable nation state that I don't think are. One of them is mass immigration of disparate peoples. Another one is no borders. And we're going to get to that. I don't think that's viable. What you build at best is an empire. Bible's full of empires. One of the great first evils recognized in the Bible is the rise of Babel. The rise of Babel. And a son of Ham was the king of Babel. His name was Nimrod. It was an evil place. Jesus Christ came down and he looked at Babel. Oh, let's read that. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language in the same words. Okay? And they said to each other, come, let us burn bricks thoroughly. And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. Interesting that they used the detritus of the great flood to build their city. Sand from the blood and tar from the flood, the burial of trillions of tons of organic matter, perhaps. And they said, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower which can reach into heaven. Interesting. Unified mankind wants to go into outer space. Not much different than today, isn't it? What goes around comes around. There's a reflection. Is there a reason? There's a reflection. Okay, mankind uniting under one purpose, under one leadership, under one goal, with one vision. They want to build a tower, a monument to themselves. In Babel, they wanted to build it into heaven. What they want to do today, sure trying to get into outer space, aren't we? I don't know if we've ever been there. They say we have. There's some great, great conspiracy movies on whether or not we landed on the moon. I recommend them to you for your titillation and entertainment, if nothing else. It's worth seeing. And the farther I go along, the more skeptical I am of the spinning globe theory. And I've got many reasons for that. There's many reasons to be skeptical of a spinning globe. And one of these days I'll talk about that, but not today. The Lord came down. Well, who's this Lord? Talked about this a couple days ago. The Lord Jesus Christ comes down. The Lord Jesus Christ comes down. Jesus Christ rules over the world. He's in charge, and he puts people in charge that he wants to have in charge. Oh, do you mean he put Biden in charge? Yeah, I don't know. I think he kind of let him be in charge. Came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing they purpose will be impossible for them. Okay? Including their own destruction. Including their own absolute destruction. I think this has a lot to do with it. Not that they can do good and great things, but they can slaughter themselves. I think with what we're playing with today in the genetic manipulation of the human genome, from mRNA vaccines to gene splicing, nothing impossible for them. Jesus Christ says, the Lord says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord, again, Jesus Christ, scattered them abroad from where they were over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Okay? We seem to have come together to start building a city, and we're going to talk about the fallen man's impetus to build global empires. We're going to talk about that. But they were scattered abroad across the face of the earth by Jesus Christ. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from the lair there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. All right? So this is pagan mankind uniting in the face of God. They're going to do all kinds of crazy things. Jesus Christ, in his mercy, came down and confused the languages, spread them out across the face of the earth. Right? Any push by mankind, apart from Jesus Christ, to build a unified global empire is an antichrist activity. Jesus Christ was so concerned about this for the welfare of mankind. He came down and he confused the languages and spread them out across the face of the earth. Acts chapter 17. Guess I got to pull that up. I think it's verse 11, but I could be wrong. Acts chapter 17. He made from one all the nations, all the many nations, and gave them their times and their boundaries. All right? This is called segregation. God's in favor of segregation. Take that, Scripps News Service, and copy that and put that in your next video thing. It's funny, they came out and they took a bunch of my video blogs and copied and pasted it so you could hear whatever they wanted you to hear, which is fine. That's fine. That's fair. No problem. Bring it. It's funny, none of them will say, hey, where did Fritz get his ideas? He got it out of the Holy Scripture. He got his ideas out of the Holy Bible. He quotes the Holy Scriptures. Wouldn't that be nice if they heard me say this? Acts chapter 17, verse 26. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. He didn't call us to be one nation. His credo is not no nations, no borders. He separated mankind by racial group. The sons of Eber began to speak Hebrew. Hello. He says, I don't like this where everybody's together. I'm going to force them to be separate. And let's see which bloodline serves me. Let's see which race serves me. And I'm doing this for their own good, their own protection, because nothing they do is going to be impossible. And they're going to mess it up, and they're going to get into trouble. They're trying to climb into the heaven. They're going to forbidden places. They're going to forbidden places. How much more, even today in 2023, with CRISPR technology and gene splicing? You read about how the sons of God come down and they mate with the daughters of men, and all kinds of abominations occurred. And you read about the gods of old and their hybrid man-animal creatures. What kind of gene splicing did they do back then? The point is this. Well, let me give you one more example. But the point is this. He didn't call us all to be one race and one people. He created the different nations with their times and their boundaries and their borders. Garden of Eden had borders. Remember that? It had borders. And the first armed border guard was at the Garden of Eden. Get people out of there. First armed border guard is the Garden of Eden. This is the work of God. It's not the work of man, it's the work of God. If you remember the story of the animals, he creates them after their kind. He didn't mix them all together. I'm stuttering, aren't I? Evolution's a lie. We didn't evolve out of monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas. They didn't evolve out of, I don't know, God knows what. But the kinds recreate after their own kinds, reproduce after their own kinds. And the animals going on the ark and come on off the ark grouped themselves by kind. They grouped themselves by kind. They went on by kind. They came off by kind. God's not interested in mixing everybody together. Now, in the history of the world, we have many, many different empires. The book of Daniel talks about four. But there's more than that out there. We know that God called Abram out of Babel, out of almost pre-Babylon. He said, get out of there. I'm going to show you a different land. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to give a land to your descendants. And it took him a while to get there. And those descendants became slaves in the land of Egypt, another empire. Empires are not good for the people of God. They're not good for the people of God. They're great for the devil. Nimrod, the commander of that first empire, the emperor of Babylon, Babel. Pharaoh, emperor of a worldly empire called Egypt, enslaved the people of God, enslaved them. God called them out of there. He said, no, I didn't call you to mix with them. I didn't call your people to mix with them. I didn't call you to be one nation with the Egyptians. And they stayed separate. And he called them out of there. He said, I'm going to put you into a different land. And he put them in the promised land that was occupied by children of Ham, specifically children of Canaan. And it names the different nations of Canaan that occupied that land. He said, go in there, slaughter those people. I'm going to give you that land. And here's your borders. And he named the borders for the land of Egypt. He says, these are going to be your borders. Never mind that there's somebody in there. I'm going to give that land to you, and you're going to wipe out everybody that was in there. You're going to slaughter them, and you're going to keep other people from invading. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you're going to be a light to the rest of the nations of the world. And it's going to be an example for you to show the other nations how to live. That was the purpose of ancient Israel. It was to be God's chosen people, to also be a light to the nations. And say, okay, here's an example. Here's the covenanted people. It's a distinct ethnic group. They have their own distinct language. They worship God by the Ten Commandments, which any nation can take. It's not exclusive to them. Any nation can say, you know what, we're going to start living by the Ten Commandments. I wish Vietnam would. I wish Cuba would. I wish Nigeria would. Taliban would, the Arabs would, and I would remind you that the first commandment points to Jesus Christ. No question. First commandment points to Jesus Christ. We've covered that. Moses worshiped Jesus Christ. When Moses spoke to the Lord, he spoke face to face with the Lord as a man speaks with his friend, and Jesus Christ said, no man's seen the Father. Who did Moses see? Excuse me. He was talking to Jesus Christ. The first commandment points to Jesus Christ. If you want to build a Christian nation, you will worship as a nation, as the law, Jesus Christ as your monarch, as your God, as your Savior, as your King. Oh, Fritz, you're mixing religion and politics. Yep, I am. No apologies. There's no such thing as a non-religious worldview. There's no such thing as a non-religious society. It's just, what do you call it? We live in a secular world. Is that a religion? We believe in things that utterly cannot be proven. There's no proof that God does not exist. I will take it a step further. There's absolutely no proof that evolution is true. None. They weave their tales. They weave their lies. They weave their deception. Kinds don't reproduce after other kinds. They reproduce only after their own kind. It's utterly impossible. Entropy does not work in reverse. You don't take a nuclear explosion and blow something up and you get order out of it. It's you degrade. It's retrograde. It's utterly evolution is utterly counterintuitive and illogical. But that's our religion. Now, when you get into the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation, it talks about these beasts that speak arrogance and blasphemy against the Most High God and against heaven. That's the arrogance and the blasphemy. Y'all are looking for somebody to curse God, curse Jesus. Oh, we hate you, God. Oh, we hate you, Jesus. No, they just said, look, you're the byproduct of some dude's imagination. That's how little respect there is. That's the blasphemy. Y'all are looking for somebody to say, oh, we curse God, we curse God, we curse Jesus, and we renounce you. No, no, no. It's who? God? Oh, yeah, God. That little conception that you have, that little imagination you have about some superior creature that created you. Yeah, that's really cute. That's really funny. That's the blasphemy. It's like, oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. He was this dude, man. He used to walk around and hang out with the fishermen, and, you know, that's really cute. Oh, and you believe he rose from the dead. That is so... Oh, those Christians, they're so cute. They're so nice. That's the blasphemy. It's just like, you don't even count. Dude, you don't even count. That's the blasphemy. And you want to get more specific, there's a specific people that blaspheme the Holy Spirit, deny that Jesus Christ was born of a woman, denied that the Holy Spirit caused the conception of Jesus Christ. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit, saying Jesus was a product of fornication, not of the Holy Spirit. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Got all kinds of stuff going on today, don't we? Here's some empires. Babylonian Empire. Okay, we see even Abram's ancestors, Terah and Haran, leaving there when the nations start to get divided. They scatter. They start heading out of Babylon, Babel of old. Babylon stays, but the nations are scattered. Who else comes out of Babylon? Well, you've got two other people that come out of there. You've got Daniel. Well, here's four. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, what was their role in Babylon? They resisted the global empire. They were resistors. Not everybody resisted. A lot of them acculturated to the Babylonian Empire. Okay, including the descendants of Israel, especially the two southern tribes. They become the whore of Babylon. They become Babylon's little whore. They become Babylon's little whore. And they said, we're going to make this work for us. We're going to acculturate. We're going to make this our empire. And we see again, but you had other people, good people that resisted. You had good Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and they resisted the empire. And it almost cost them their lives. That is what we have to do in this multicultural empire, which we live in now, which is called the United States and the West or whatever it is. And this empire is like a beast. It rages like a beast, like the beast of Daniel. Is trying to subdue and destroy these other beasts out there, whether it's China or it's Russia, and it rages and rages, and there's no sense or logic to it. Jealous and envious of its power, it rages like a beast. And we're caught in the beast like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't live in a Christian country. It once was. And then a people came in. It did what it did to the Persian Empire. These multicultural empires are perfectly suited for a group of people to come in, a whore to come in and subvert them and turn them away from the living God and make them slaves. See that in the book of Esther. The Persian Empire. Esther's in there. And Mordecai. Evil people. Sorry, evil people. Okay, there's not one appeal to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There's not one prayer. God does not show up in the book of Esther. They subvert the empire, a multicultural empire that ruled from India to Ethiopia, 127 different provinces. They took over and began murdering those they disliked. All right? That's the problem with these global empires, including the one called the United States of America. It's become a global power, a beast, a global empire. You got the same group of people that go in there and manipulate it for their own ends, and they start murdering people and turning people against one another. I would remind you, in the book of Esther, many people converted to become Jews. People say, oh, the Jews don't convert. Oh, yes, they do. That's just another lie, another lie. In the book of Esther, many people converted to be a Jew. And we know even King Herod was from Esau. King Herod, Herod the Great, was from Esau. Oh, these are God's chosen. No. Their ancestors converted to the Talmud. They rejected Jesus Christ, the God that Moses served, the God that Isaiah served, the God that Ezekiel saw. They rejected Jesus Christ. Even out of Egypt, they rejected Jesus Christ. It wasn't to me you made those offerings of sacrifices in the desert, was it? You brought the star of your God, Rapha, out there. They still got that star on their national flag over there. I'm telling you, the church has bought a bill of goods. I'm telling you. The church has gone along with this deception, this lie. Satan is literally the deceiver of nations, and he's deceived the church into thinking that an antichrist people is the people of God. We got a big fat problem. We're not going to solve our problem until we deal with this. All right, you got preachers filled with the Holy Ghost that are supposed to be preaching the Gospels. Then you got and they're the sons of God. Those are the children of Israel. Then you've got the synagogue of Satan and the children of the devil, and they got devils, and they're trying to do their thing. And when the church calls those people the children of God, we got a problem. Of course, I talk a lot about that here at bloodandfaith.com. Get the Greek Empire, all right? With the Greeks, what happens? In the Gospels, it talks about, you know, where did the 10 tribes, where's the dispersion? Is Jesus Christ going to go to the dispersion among the Greeks? Is Jesus Christ going to go to the dispersion among the Greeks, the European people? Is he going to go there? And, of course, by the time Jesus Christ shows up, it's the Roman Empire, another beast, another global beast. It's often said, even by my secular historians, that the United States is a product of a long line that really comes out of the Greco-Roman world. In many ways, the cultural descendants of Rome, and certainly the founders of the United States thought that. In 1776, why do you think, and the builders of Washington, D.C., why do you have these Roman-looking structures with the columns? Because they saw themselves as heirs of the Greeks and the Romans. Now, there's also a very strong Christian foundation for North America as well. I'm including Canada in that. Going back to the 1600s, they fled Europe. They said that Europe's become corrupted. We need to build a Christian civilization. We need to build Christian nation states. They fled to North America, northern North America. We're going to build a Christian nation state over here, perhaps many of them. They wanted to build a Christian nation state. And again, they had a homogeneous group of people. I'll just take the Puritans and the Pilgrims. Ethnically and racially homogenous, linguistically homogenous. They served Jesus Christ. They wanted to build a Christian nation here in North America. And what happens over time is that becomes corrupted. And people fall away. And next thing you know, well, we believe in God. We believe in God. Israel, ancient Israel, God gave them specific borders. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And even within the nation of Israel, he made borders, he made sub-regions for the 12 or the 13, however you want to, the 11 tribes plus the two half-tribes. He gave them specific borders for even their ethnic tribe within them. This idea that we're all one is anti-Christ. It's against what Jesus Christ did. Not only did he give the sons of Israel their own nation, but he gave the 12 tribes to reach their own individual land. This idea that you can mix people is not an idea that comes from Jesus Christ. It's not an idea that comes from Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to give you separate nations, separate borders, even within the nation of Israel. And by the way, you're all going to, here's the law for y'all. It's called the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment points to Jesus Christ. The fifth commandment says you're going to honor your ancestors, not despise them, not hate them, not call them racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. Okay, Satan inverts everything. The world system, the world beast inverts everything. And right now there's a destruction, absolutely explicit destruction of the white race. The children of the devil are pursuing the destruction of the white race. Why? Because historically we are the Christian race. We are. Now, does that mean if you're not white, you're not Christian? No, it doesn't mean that. You know that. You're going to have somebody out there trying to twist that. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, by the way. Okay? He's one of the first converts. God sent Philip out of his way. He said, you're going to go convert that Ethiopian. And why? Why? Because of Jeremiah. Because there was an Ethiopian eunuch that saved Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, saved his life. God said, okay, I'm going to honor that African man. We have Simon the Black in the book of Acts preaching the gospel. Yet you cannot deny that all the scriptures written since Jesus Christ were resurrected from the word in the European tongue. You can't deny that. You can't deny Matthew chapter 21 when Jesus Christ told the people who call themselves Jews, he says, listen, I'm going to strip the vineyard away from you. I'm going to give it to a different ethnos. I'm going to give it to a different ethnic group. You can't deny that Paul was sent to the Europeans. You can't deny that most of the apostles ended up in Europe one way or the other. You can't deny that it is the Europeans who converted as a race, as a civilization to Jesus Christ, unlike any other race on the face of the earth. You cannot deny that. Even the Jews knew where the Greeks went. They went to the Jews knew where the ten tribes went. Jesus said, I'm going to go someplace that you can't follow me. He said, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the dispersion amongst the Greeks, amongst the European peoples? It's called a clue. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he begins to speak Greek. Revelation 1, verse 8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Those are Greek letters. They're not Hebrew letters. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Those are Greek letters. Those are European letters. They're not Semitic letters. They're not from Hebrew. They're not from Aramaic. Oh, are you saying the gospel's only for white people? No, no. He's going to have people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. But I will say, you need to pay attention to this stuff. Okay, and I will say that when the children of the devil try to wipe out and genocide the white race, there's a reason why. This is the reason why. This is the race that took the gospel to the rest of the world, and they were faithful with it. Who brought the gospel to the New Hemisphere? It was the Spanish and the Portuguese and the French and the English. Who brought the gospel to China and Africa? Was it not English missionaries? Do I need to go in and talk about the book of Revelation, about this, how the dragon starts pouring out this river, the water representing the nations to flood and drown and destroy the people of God? That's going to be a good one. I'm not there yet, but it's right there in the scriptures. He goes after those that are faithful to Jesus Christ on the globe, and he's going to flood them to destroy them. Flood them with water, flood them with peoples. So the question back to the subject matter of this podcast, what do we want when we go through our 5 or 10 or 20 or 40 year civil war here in North America? I'll be gone. Be quite honest with you. This is not something that you can solve in an election cycle. I don't know if it takes one generation, or I don't know how long it's going to take. But I am a student of history, and things get messy, and things take time. And we're not at a point right now where we understand what we want. We're still holding on to this conception of, we're all Americans, as if everybody that steps foot in North America, suddenly, boom, we become Vermonters or New Hampshire people. No, white people are different than black people. Ethiopians are different than Swedes. Okay, the Jewish people know very well they're different than Englishmen. They know that. They're proud of it. They got articles out there saying, we're not white. Jews say, we're not white. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them being proud of their race. That's fine. Be proud of your race. Have your own land. Have your own nation. Look, the Jews do it. The Jews said, look, Israel is for Jews. Israel is about Jews. And by the way, you Africans that are living in Israel, you call yourself Jews, get the heck out of here. They're exporting them. They're deporting them. They don't want those Eritrean or those black Africans living in Israel. They don't want them. So we can't do this. It's all in the news. They're the hypocrites that Jesus Christ warned you about. And by the way, they're building borders. They're building walls to keep people out. And they're exporting the people. They're casting out the people that aren't of European extraction. Remember, these Jews that call themselves Jews, their ancestors were Europeans that converted to the Talmud, the Khazars. And biblically, we know this is true because even back in the book of Esther, foreign nations having nothing to do with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are converting to become Jews. Bible teaches that. Bible shows you that. This isn't Fritz Berger and I'm making it up. I always go back to the scriptures because that's your touchstone. And it simply continued to this day. Donald Trump's daughter converted. Now she's a Jew. Is she magically somehow a descendant of Israel from thousands of years ago? Or is she a daughter of Japheth? A daughter of a long line of Christians. And now she's turned her back on Jesus Christ. Which is really... Man, I hope her money's worth it. Because those things like that, you don't come back from. You don't come back from that, my opinion. So what kind of nation do we want? Oh, we want a diversity is our strength. No, that's a lie. You've bought a lie. Diversity is not your strength. Well, God built his people into a nation. He didn't say, hey, you know what? I want an African here. I want a Norwegian in there. Let's put some Native American Indians in there. Let's get a little French in there, a little Swahili. No. He said, no. Ethnic homogeneity is what he did with the nation that he built. They're literally the children of a man named Israel, common bloodline. And by the way, all the patriarchs, when they got married, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all married into their own kin. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. Well, that sounds racist. I don't care. The word, you've adopted one of Satan's terms. If you elevate that word to something that ought to be considered and deferred to, you've elevated one of Satan's terms. Thou shalt not be racist. That's Satan's moral code. And it inverts the fifth commandment. Anti-racism is an inversion of the fifth commandment. God built a nation, an ethnically homogenous nation. Religiously homogenous, if you want to. They all worship, they're supposed to be worshiping Jesus Christ, first commandment. Is that what we want when we go through our time of troubles here in North America? Or are we still looking to build a worldly empire? Are we still trying to build a multicultural, multi-ethnic empire that's perfectly designed and suited for the children of the devil to run and rule and manipulate? Oh, yeah, these are hard questions. And we're not even talking about them yet. So I see us going through a big, deep time of troubles until enough people wake up and say, we're trying to rebuild a house on a faulty foundation. They're going to have to go back and say, hey, we got to stick with our kin. We have to stick with our blood. We have to stick with our race. Be you whatever race you are. Don't forget about, you've heard of Aztlan. You know what Mecha is. Hey, it's a race of people, a group of people that want to build their own ethnically homogenous nation in North America with their own defined boundaries. I'm fine with that. That's perhaps doable. Now, different ethnic groups will succeed in various different ways, but that's not what this is about. The point is, what we're trying to do now is we're still trying to build, we're still trying to conceive of an America that's really a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiracial empire, which, based on the book of Esther, is perfectly suited for the children of the devil to rule over and manipulate. And it doesn't work. Okay, if we can't have a nation that serves explicitly Jesus Christ, I'm not interested. Frankly, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in building a religiously neutral society. Not interested. Got no interest in that. None. Strike me off that list. I'm not on your agenda. We need to build nations that serve explicitly Jesus Christ. And I'll help. If there's other nations out there, if there's a nation in Africa that says we want to serve Jesus Christ, I'll help you. I can't be part of your nation, but I'll help you. I'll teach you. I will. We're not there yet. Listen, there's one king. His name is Jesus Christ. If you're going to build a nation that won't recognize Jesus Christ as your king, I'm out. Not for me. Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com.